Let's turn now to Genesis chapter 19. I'd like to read with you from verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. And tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go in your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they laid down the men of the city, even the men of Sodom compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy daughter, thy sons, and thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Amen. And may the Lord add his own divine blessing to the reading of his truth tonight. For Christ's sake, we'll bow in a brief word of prayer. Lord, help us now, we pray, to understand the warnings that are in this portion. We pray that thou wilt speak through thy truth. Thou knowest the lessons that we need to learn. Thou knowest the commands that we need to hear. Lord, help us to hear them. Help us to learn them. We pray these things in Christ's name and ask thee to help us. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. There's a short and simple statement right in the middle of verse 17. It just says, Escape for thy life. And that's the text that I'd like to use for our gospel mission tonight. Escape for thy life. These words were uttered by the angels whom the Lord sent to Sodom to usher Lot out of that city before God destroyed it. The plea was made to Lot very early, on the morning of the day that the judgment came. So when Lot was told, escape for thy life, there were only a few hours left before the judgment actually fell upon that city. The message, therefore, was very appropriate. Lot needed to hear it. And he needed to hear it there and then. You see, the message was on time. On time. The Lord never makes mistakes. His timing is always perfect. In everything he does and in everything he says, his timing is perfect. Even though these words were spoken by the angels to Lot, they were actually the words of God. It was God's message through the angels to Lot. So here we have an appropriate message, a timely message, and a message from God. It was a message that was sent in love. Because God was about to destroy this sinful place right from off the face of the earth. Verse 13 tells us, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." They said, this place will be destroyed. God has sent us to do that very thing. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen today. But the Lord loved Lot. God wanted to spare Lot from the doom of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot was a privileged man. Why was he so privileged? Because that day, God spoke to him. It's always a privilege when God speaks to us. Always a privilege. And tonight in this gospel meeting, it's my prayer that God would speak to us. If God does that, it'll be a special meeting. And that's what we need to hear tonight, the speaking voice of God. And if God should come and speak to you with a rebuke, accept it. If God should come and speak to you in a challenging way, take up the challenge. But never reject what God says. Never disobey God's word. And you'll see in the remainder of this study why it's always a wise thing to do what God says. It's always wise. As we go through the message tonight, I want you to remember one thing. I believe it's just important to mention it before we go on with the gospel challenge. Lot was not a sinful man in the sense that he was still unsaved. Don't think of him like that. Lot was a child of the Lord. He was. Now, he was in a place he shouldn't have been in a vile city, living amongst vile people. He was what you would call outside the will of God. He was not enjoying God's best in his life and God's richest blessing. Lot was missing out on those things, but he was still a child of the Lord. Lot had got saved, and you don't get saved and then get lost. Once you're saved, if you're truly saved, you're always saved. And Lot was a saved man. Peter says that the Lord delivered just Lot. He was a just man. Peter also says that Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was living in Sodom. He didn't like all that was going on. He knew deep down in his heart, this is wrong. He knew God disapproved. And there were times, there were things happening there that broke his heart. But he was living there anyway, shouldn't have been there, tolerating things he shouldn't have tolerated. But he did belong to the Lord. He did. But tonight, as we look at this statement made to him, escape for thy life, I want to apply it in a gospel sense. I want to apply it to those who might be in the meeting tonight without Christ. Not saved. Not yet a Christian. Not born again. And the word that I want you to remember tonight is this. It's a word from God. Escape for thy life. And there are three simple things I want to say about that statement. Made to Lot. But we pray that God will make that statement to you and speak to you through these words. First of all, with regard to these words, there's danger referred to. When God said to Lot, escape for thy life, God said it because Lot was in danger. He was in danger. He was not told, stay where you are. And try and find some sort of refuge. Dig yourself a bunker. Get yourself some sort of protection. God didn't tell Lot to do that. God says, escape for thy life because you are in danger in this place. And there's a warning in the gospel mission tonight to unsaved people. If you're not washed in the blood of Christ yet, you are in danger. And I want you to realize that this evening. You're in great danger. If you stay where you are right now, in your unsaved state, you'll be in hell when you die. The judgment of God will come upon you. And you'll never enter heaven. You'll be doomed, and you'll end up in hell. Because outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no refuge for you. There's no other safety outside of Him. You are in danger. Please take heed to this. Why are you in such danger tonight? Because you're still in your sin. We're all sinners. But if you're still in your sin and your sins aren't forgiven, you're in great danger. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that those whose sins are not forgiven are not getting into heaven. You're not. Listen to these words in Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There Paul is talking about having sins forgiven. How do you get your sins forgiven? Through the blood of Christ, redeemed through the blood. That's how you're forgiven. In verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians 1, Paul talks about those who have trusted Christ, those who are washed in the blood, those who are forgiven, and those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about those who have been delivered from danger. Tell me, are your sins forgiven? Are you washed in the blood? Is the Holy Spirit in your heart and life? Are you going to heaven? Have you been delivered from this terrible danger of ending up in hell? I want to warn you. You're in danger if you haven't forsaken your sin. You must escape from sin. Many would love to be saved, but they don't want to leave their sin. They want deliverance from the punishment of sin, but they want to be able to still practice their sin. Well, that's not the way it works. God didn't send His Son into the world as an excuse for sin. He sent His Son into the world to be our Savior from sin. And you cannot stay on in Sodom and hope to escape the judgment. You need to escape for your life. Some people would argue, well, I'll stay in Sodom, but I'll move out of the slum district and move into a better area and live there. That's no use. You have to escape from Sodom. Get out of it. Some try to clean up their lives and be a little bit more respectable in the hope that'll satisfy God. No. You need to flee from sin and flee to Christ. It's the only way to be saved. There's no other way. Some of you in danger will say, I don't believe all of this. I don't believe I need to be saved. I don't believe God will judge me. There are wicked, sinful people out there. He'll judge them and they deserve it. But not me. Not me. Well, friends, it's a good thing that Lot didn't think like that when the angel spoke to him. It's a good thing. You see, he had a choice to make that day. Would he accept the word of the angels and act thereon? Or would he reject that word and ignore what they told him to do? You see, in the gospel mission, with the Lord's help, we'll be impressing upon people, you need to accept what the Bible says and do what it says. And don't argue with it. Don't debate with it. Don't try and do your own thing, but do what God says. On this occasion, Lot believed the word from God. He knew he was in danger, and he believed the word. I wonder tonight, have you believed the word of the Lord to the salvation of your soul? The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, do you know what that means? If you don't come to Christ and believe on him, the Bible says you'll be damned in hell. And the gospel preacher must be faithful. I have to be faithful to you. I don't want to come to Dromore night by night and give you a false hope. Oh no, I want to tell you the truth. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, you will be in hell. You will. You must personally believe in him if you want to be saved. And if you're not saved, that should concern you tonight. That should worry you. We live in a world where people worry about financial ruin. They talk about losing money and investments and property and all the rest of it. You'd think to hear them that was all that mattered. We live in a world where people talk so much about illness and sickness, and we know there's a lot of sickness around, and it's heartbreaking. But when you listen to people talking, it's all about the body, the body, the body. They don't seem to think about their soul. We want you to think about your soul in this gospel mission. Don't just be fearing that which can destroy the body. Fear the God of heaven who will say to you, if you're not saved, depart from me and cast your soul into hell. There is great danger. If you're not saved, you're in danger. And you need to escape for your life. You need to be delivered. Can I move on quickly to the second point? There's a duty then, because that danger, it leads us right into the duty. The duty before Lot, it was obvious. He had been told to escape for his life, and he would have to leave Sodom if he wanted to be saved from the doom that was about to strike the city. And sinner in this house tonight, can I warn you? You must escape for your life. You must leave behind everything and anything that would hinder you from coming to Christ. Leave it all behind. You see, Lot, when he left that city, he had to leave his former friends behind. There were people in that place he had lived beside, worked with, and socialized with over a period of some years. And there were bound to be those that he was close to and friendly with and got on well with. Bound to be. He wouldn't have wanted them to be burned up in the fire and brimstone, but they weren't prepared to leave their sin. They weren't prepared to leave it. Was he prepared to stay with them, or would he leave it? There was a duty placed upon him. You need to escape for your life. Do it personally. If you have to leave friends behind, leave them behind. Leave them behind. There are sometimes in our lives those that would try to keep us from coming to Christ, hold us back. Maybe God's saying to you tonight, you need to get away from this danger you're in. You need to escape for your life. You might have to leave friends behind. But God will give you new friends. He'll give you better ones. Lot also had to leave his former comforts behind. You see, he had gone to Sodom some time earlier for the sake of comfort and worldly gain, and we believe from reading the Bible he probably did very well out of it. He probably made a lot of money. He probably had great comfort in Sodom. Maybe one of the grandest homes in the city, and certainly good furniture, the very best that the world had to offer, whatever that was at that time. We believe that Lot would have had those things. But now he has to leave them all behind in order to obey God. With some people, money and business stands in their way. It stops them from coming to Christ. You know, before, better to enter heaven a poor man than enter hell a rich man. Or should I say, enter hell having been a rich man. Because really there are no rich people in hell. You leave all you had in this world behind. God takes you from it. And you know, if you have to leave certain things behind to escape and get to Christ, leave it behind. Because coming to Christ is the most important thing in the whole world. The whole world. Friends, it was also Lot's duty not to stand about, not to argue, and not to debate with the angels. There was no time for that. The fire clouds were already coming in the direction of the city. It wouldn't be long until the fire would fall from heaven. And you know, if Lot had been in Sodom debating whether he should or shouldn't obey the angels, he'd have been destroyed. It was his duty not to debate with God, just to obey God. And the old devil would say to you tonight in the gospel meeting, hold on a minute. You don't have to get saved tonight. You've got plenty of time. And he'll give you arguments to throw back at me and throw back at the Reverend Kenny. And he'll put thoughts in your mind of debating the whole issue through a stalling tactic. Just to get you to put it off. To do nothing about your soul. It's a good job Lot didn't get on like that. It's a good job. He had to make his mind up. He had to do what God told him to do. And you know, whatever it is that's holding you back, just get rid of it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. The world will never satisfy and it'll never make you happy. There's a program on TV some time ago about Howard Hughes. In his day and generation, one of the richest men in the world, and probably even to this day, still one of the richest men who ever lived. But do you know what the conclusion was in the documentary? All the billions of dollars didn't make Howard Hughes happy. He was a very sad man. Don't let the devil tell you there's anything in this world to make you happy. There's not. There's not. We verse in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All the things of the world will pass away. They're temporal. They'll pass away. Soon be forgotten. So Lot didn't let them hold him back. Ah, there was a time in his life when the things of the world got a bit of a grip on him and he lost out with God. But I'm glad by this stage in his life he had learnt the lesson. I'm not going to stay in this place for the sake of my possessions and what the world has to offer. I'm going to get out of it. Because that's what God has told me to do. And the duty I want to impress upon you is this. Escape for your life because wrath is coming. The judgment of the Lord is coming upon this sinful world and upon the sinful people in it. And you need to flee to Christ to be saved from that judgment. The danger that's spoken of here. The duty that's spoken of. And finally, can I just mention to you briefly the destruction. Because if Lot had stayed in Sodom, he would have lost all. He'd have lost his life. Everything was destroyed. You know, He couldn't have saved one thing by staying in Sodom. He couldn't have saved his silver or his gold or his house or his possessions or anything else. You see, there's no advantage in remaining in your sin. None whatsoever. The things that you put before the Lord, they'll be snatched away from you at the end of the day. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Nothing. And death will separate you from all that pertains to this earth and this life. At that point, earthly things have no advantage whatsoever. If Lot had stayed, he would have perished with the rest of the population. We read in Job 2 and 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. You know, people will give anything to save their lives. Anything. Everything. When it comes to death, people would give everything they have away for a few more months on this earth. Anything to save my life, I will give it. Money, whatever I have. If they were told you've got a terminal illness, but you need to sell your house and sell your car and sell the whole lot, and all the money raised could maybe buy you treatment in America, and it'll give you a few more years, people would do it. Anything for life. Anything. They'll give it. Yet the soul is more important than the body. More important. And it would be better never to be born than to be born and die without Christ and go to hell. But many can't see that. Sure they can't. And they'll even sit in gospel meetings and all they can think about is the world and the things of it. And the devil's happy when that's the case because they're not thinking about their soul. And what'll happen if they die without Christ? You know, I finish with these thoughts. If Lot had stayed, he would have been destroyed having been warned. That's chilling, to say the least. Nothing is worse than doing something which turns out to be costly, hurtful and harmful, having been warned about it beforehand. You know, there were people, and before the credit crunch came, they were told, be careful, don't be putting all the money into that and doing that, it's not going to last forever. But they did it. And they borrowed and they borrowed and they just pushed on. They thought it would last forever. And there were those who said it'll not last forever. And when the bubble burst, they lost everything. Do you know what makes it worse for those poor folk? They were warned and they still went on ahead. That makes it worse. But like the person working with machinery. They're told, you watch that. That's dangerous. You be careful. You could get badly hurt with that. And they just go on ahead. And all's well while everything goes well. But the day that the accident happens, that's when they could be kicking themselves. I was warned about that. And I didn't listen. And look what's happened now. Tell me, friends, what must it be for a soul to be warned about judgment, death, and hell? To have been warned, and to have listened, to have ignored the warnings, and then be plunged into hell. It's almost too dreadful to even think about. And it would be awful if some dear soul from the mission in the Moor heard the warning, heard God say, escape for your life, you're in great danger. The duty I require of you is to flee from sin, flee to the safety of Christ. But that person said, no, I'll just go on the way I'm going, and then end up destroyed in hell. Oh, to end up in a lost eternity having been warned. That's the greatest tragedy that I can ever think of. please, don't end up like that. Listen to God. Escape for thy life. There's a way to be delivered. Christ is the way. Turn to him. Believe on him. Receive him. And you'll not regret it. May the Lord help you to embrace Christ and trust him with all of your heart. Thank you very much indeed for listening.